the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. The world of sports has been roiled by controversy in recent weeks, and it seems to be more or less across the board. Football, baseball, basketball, cycling. It looks like there's hardly an area of sports that hasn't been touched by charges of corruption, criminality, and all the rest. There are a lot of people wondering, where are the heroes now? Are any of our heroes real heroes when it comes to sports? And there's some great questions here about the intersection of morality and entertainment, of human achievement and all the rest. We're going to be talking about that today on the Albert Mohler Program. We'll be looking at the scandals in baseball, football, basketball, and cycling. And by the way, with the sport of cycling, it threatens the entire future of the sport itself. We're going to be talking about that as we move forward. I know there are a lot of folks out there who are avid sports fans. I'd love to know what you're thinking, especially as Christians. How do we bring intelligent Christian conversation to bear on the issue of these scandals in sports and what this means for human athletic achievement, for organized sports? With a real eye to this question, what does it mean for our kids? What does it mean for our kids observing this, participating in sports? So what about their heroes and all the rest? The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. First, to review some issues in the news. A chilling 7-page order dated October 1, 1973 was discovered last week in archives in the East German city of Magdeburg. We say Eastern now rather than East Germany because after the fall of the Iron Curtain and the reunification of Germany, and of course now we're moving into the second decade of that reality, it is hard for many Americans to remember just how evil these communist regimes were. But this 7-page order makes it very clear. It shows that the Ministry for State Security, or the Stasi as it was known, the East German secret police, told guards that they must, and this is from the New York Times, quote, stop or liquidate anyone trying to cross the border. Listen to these chilling words, a direct quotation from the memorandum. Do not hesitate to use your firearm, not even when the border is breached in the company of women and children, which is a tactic the traitors have often used. Now, historians record that the number of people killed by border guards as they tried to flee across the border was between 270 and 780. Politicians from Eastern Germany said they had no doubt that the shoot-to-kill document was authentic, but some were skeptical that any former senior Stasi officers or communist officials would be prosecuted because of it. In other words, the further you get from something like this, the more difficult it is to bring the kind of criminal prosecutions that that could have come earlier. This is also the case, of course, with the Nazi criminals that dispersed so soon after World War II. And even well into the 1960s, 70s, 80s, and even into the 90s, many of these people were being brought forth for extradition and prosecution. But few are being brought forth now, and the reason is many of them have simply died. This is another reminder to us that there are many people who will escape earthly justice. And that's where we have to, as Christians, remember that they will not escape final justice. Other issues in the news include a rather radical increase in the number of persons seeking plastic surgery. But in the past, plastic surgery was the province of the wealthy. And as a matter of fact, you would go to neighborhoods in Manhattan, in the suburbs of Los Angeles, in Beverly Hills, and you would find very prominent plastic and reconstructive surgery practices, what is now known euphemistically as aesthetic surgery, but now this is spreading down into the middle classes and beyond. And the reality is that there are many people who are undertaking these operations without the money to pay for them, and they are financing them with credit cards and loans. We have become a civilization, a culture of people who believe that they must have these various cosmetic procedures just in order to function. They're willing to take out loans, to take on excessive credit loans and loads in order to do this. The New York Times again reporting patients throughout the country find brochures in their doctor's office with slogans like, get the cosmetic procedures you want today, from established financing companies like Capital One and Care Credit, a unit of GE Money. In Star Magazine, among ads for weight loss pills and slimming gels, an internet-based financier called Dr. Say Yes Net advertises, quote, absolutely no one will be turned down. Now you can finance your cosmetic procedure for as little as $99 down and $99 per month. One doctor said of a patient that the patient said, I financed my car. Why shouldn't I finance my face? Now, folks, we're really facing the culture of artificiality here, the culture of artificial beauty in the first place. You know, the reality is people don't need these cosmetic operations. I'm not saying that there's no one who at any time, for any reason, needs any kind of plastic and reconstructive surgery. That would be ridiculous. I'm not saying that it is absolutely immoral under all circumstances to have these procedures done. I am saying that it is a false ideal of beauty. It is a denial of the beauty of age. It is a superficiality that now leads to the cutting of the body in successive operations just to make the body something like a canvas, a piece of art. And there are real problems there. And when you have people that are taking out loans and loading up their consumer debt with credit cards in order to have plastic, cosmetic, and aesthetic surgical procedures, you know, we're in big trouble. Lots of folks headed for college, some of them for the first time, some of them back returning for a new academic year. But one of the new things happening is that parents and the students themselves are checking each other out on Facebook. USA Today reports that some parents are now requesting changes in roommates before the students even arrive simply because they have made a judgment from Facebook that their kids are incompatible with proposed roommates. College housing officials say parents who cite Facebook most frequently mention party-related content and photos as their primary concerns. Parents sometimes see cups and photos and make the leap to alcohol and drugs. Well, I think they're probably justified in making that leap in many times and in many cases. But Robin Berkowitz-Smith of Syracuse University says race, religion, and sexual orientation are the top three concerns from parents contacting officials there. You know, folks, we're living in a weird world. Not only are all these things now the stuff of daily conversation, but also of publication on Facebook. We shouldn't be surprised that roommates and the parents of college students are beginning to check these things out up front. USA Today is also out with another very interesting story indicating what we have talked about on this program many times, and that is the extension of adolescence into the 20s. The cover story in yesterday's Life section talks about walking the tightrope of the 20s. Risky behavior doesn't end with teen years. The story is by Sharon Jason. This is what she says. She says the 20s have always been prime time for risky behavior, from binge drinking and unprotected sex to dabbling in drugs and driving too fast. But new brain research suggests young adults may have less control over these impulses. Neurological areas that regulate impulse and emotions are not fully developed until about the mid-20s, findings show. Now, this is one of those articles you need to look at. Take a step back, take a deep breath, and come back to it again. The article here is suggesting that young adults in their 20s simply shouldn't be expected to grow up. And they're even trying to bring some neurological and physiological research to the picture in order to say their mental capacities aren't fully developed yet. Their neurological areas that regulate impulse and emotions are not fully developed yet, not until about the mid-20s. So, in other words, now they're trying to bring a scientific rationale for extending adolescence. Folks, I say we need to take a step back and then look at the article again. The step back is a little bit of historical awareness. Throughout most of human history, people had taken on adult responsibilities by the age of 20, if not almost immediately thereafter. You look back through human history, what was the median age of most of the soldiers in our wars? Most of the conscripts were in this age. They were entrusted with huge responsibility. They were taught to be disciplined, and they were taught to be effective and mature. You know, the reality is that you look at an article like this, and you have to step back and say, this is a society that's trying to find any kind of justification for extending adolescence and for explaining and rationalizing away misbehavior among the young, whether it be adolescents, teenagers, or young adults. In any case, it's a pretty sad story from my point of view. Speaking of sad, the New York Times is also reporting that at least some representatives of evangelical Protestant churches have joined an effort by Roman Catholic, Orthodox, and other Protestant churches to create a common code of conduct for religious conversions, supposedly to preserve the right of Christians to spread their religion while avoiding conflict among faiths. This story indicates that some evangelical and Pentecostal representatives did attend the meeting. Now, this brings full circle where we began this week talking about this as a major concern for the program. Monday's program was about that topic, and we had real audio from some of the participants, indeed the lead sponsor, the World Council of Churches, explaining that what they hoped would come out of this process was a way of getting over the idea that Christianity is superior and getting over the idea that we're supposed to convert anyone in the first place. Now, I ask you this, what in the world were evangelical participants doing in that meeting? We'll watch this one carefully and bring you back further reports. When we come back, we're going to talk about what in the world has happened in the world of sports, what it means for the future of heroism and human achievement. The phone number is 877-893-8255, and we'll be right back. That was a voiceover when Barry Bonds on August the 7th of this year hit home run number 756 and took the major league record. Immediately after the game, Mr. Bonds held a press conference, and you need to hear what he had to say.
This record is not tainted at all. At all. Period. You guys can say whatever you want.
Well, guys are saying whatever they want, men and women saying whatever they want. Lots of conversation about how in the world do you do this? George Will asked the question, do you put an asterisk beside the name in the record book? I mean, after all the allegations about steroids and drug use and all the rest, and it's not just baseball and it's not just Barry Bonds. Sports Illustrated in the August 6, 2007 edition is asking this question, fed up yet? It covers the gamut of some of the scandals in sports these days. It starts out with Michael Vick. And, by the way, with legal developments there, even today, it's looking more and more like this is a man in deep legal trouble. And yet, even as the focus has been on Michael Vick, and even as he has been let go from the Atlanta Falcons, and even as he has lost his contracts with Nike shoes and others, there are people that are launching an organization to save Michael Vick. Jack McCallum, writing in Sports Illustrated, says this. Some would say that showing support for a 27-year-old multimillionaire who allegedly took part in killing his underperforming dogs by electrocution and drowning is crazy. But the circus atmosphere that surrounded the Vick hearing, as well as subsequent comments about the dogfighting case, prove one thing. In America, there are always divergent points of view. But it's not just football either. In baseball, you have Barry Bonds and the expanding steroid crisis. And, of course, it didn't start with Mr. Bonds, and it will not end with Mr. Bonds. And, you know, even as on August the 7th, he passed this record, becoming the title holder for Major League Baseball in terms of total career home runs, there are just so many questions. How many of the achievements listed in these record books were steroid-assisted? How many of them are tied to corruption and to bending and breaking the rules? And speaking of bending and breaking the rules, one of the clearest cases comes with NBA referee, or now we should say disgraced former NBA referee Tim Gonaghy. Mr. Gonaghy has pled guilty. He says he's very sorry for what happened. What happened is that he pleaded guilty in a Brooklyn court just this week to felony charges for taking cash payoffs from gamblers and betting on games he officiated. He was released on a $250,000 bond and is to be sentenced on November the 9th. That's basketball. It's not just basketball. It's also football with Mr. Vick. It's not only football, it's also cycling. The field of cycling has been hit so hard that one major Belgian newspaper, a French-speaking newspaper there, ran an obituary for the sport and for the Tour de France. You have the doping scandals, the blood transfusion scandals, and it is an expanding issue that threatens, perhaps more than the scandals in baseball, basketball, and football, the very future of the sport. The Salt Lake Tribune reports that the Tour de France, even as it is a major focus of French activity and international attention, has been overshadowed by so many scandals that people have to wonder whether the businesses will continue to give the commercial endorsements, whether or not people will continue to line the streets and highways and byways of France to watch the race, and whether or not there is much of a future in all of this. The Sports Illustrated story came down to the question, basically, are there any heroes in sports? What do we think about all of this? Now, for Christians, this raises a host of issues. I want to try to identify just a few of them. Number one, what does this say about human achievement? I mean, one of the things that makes sports so attractive to so many people is that it is the playing ground for human achievement to be demonstrated. Who can throw the longest pass? Who can hit the most home runs? Who can throw the fastest pitch? Who can jump and run the fastest and the furthest? Who can do these things? Who can ride faster than someone? Who has the stamina to win these extended races? Where is the marathon man? Where are the great athletic achievements by men and women that should have our respect and our attention? The big question comes, what do you do when human achievement seems to be chemically enhanced? What do you do with this? How do you then recalibrate respect and estimation, esteem for that kind of achievement? That's one issue. The second issue is, what do you think about sports when it becomes so corrupted by money? Money is a big part of the scandals going on here, certainly in terms of the NBA scandal. It's about money. Should we just assume that money is going to infect every dimension of sports? And how long is it before there are bookies outside Little League games at the neighborhood, at the ballpark? That's a big question. And then the third question is heroism. I mean, let's just face the facts. For an awful lot of Americans, sports heroes are the heroes. For an awful lot of young boys, that athlete is the hero. And, of course, it's not just boys, it's also girls. But in American culture, The high-achieving sports hero has become a major focus of attention. What do you do when you find out that that person's been betting, has been taking steroids, has been cutting the corners, was cheating in the bicycle race? These are all big questions. Was taking a little money under the table? What does that say about heroism? What does this say about sports? Here's the question. How do you, as an intelligent Christian, make these decisions? How do you talk to your children about sports after these scandals? How do you justify the kind of rationalizations we now hear, saying, well, let's let these people that are so talented get away with these things, because after all, they're fun to watch, and they're really talented. Does Barry Bonds belong in the Baseball Hall of Fame? Those are big questions. This is the place for intelligent Christian conversation, and on this Friday, this is a good time for us to consider this in the very week that you have so many of these things breaking in the news. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. And I'm looking forward to this conversation perhaps more than anyone else, because I am not someone that is really focused on sports as a major area of interest. And that's no news to the people who know me best. But I do understand that sports, the entire field of athletics, plays a very important part in terms of the lives of many Americans. As a matter of fact, more people, in terms of voluntary association, voluntary activity, more people are involved in organized sports than any other endeavor in this country, with one exception. That's organized religion. So there are more people involved every week in some kind of organized worship service or kind of religious activity than anything else. But athletics in organized form comes in right behind. Now, one of the reasons I put that together is because for a frighteningly large number of Americans, sports is not only about heroism and human achievement, it basically is their religion as well. But how do we as Christians try to figure this out? How do we talk about these things to our kids? The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. This is the place for intelligent Christian conversation. Today that conversation is about sports. What's authentic? What's real? What's to be admired? What's to be condemned? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, coast to coast and with listeners around the world. This is the Albert Mueller Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. The entire field of sports is being rocked by these scandals, controversies that cover the field, really, in terms of basketball, baseball, football, and cycling. Others as well, but those four right now are on the front burner and were the part of the cover story of Sports Illustrated in the August 6th edition. Lots of questions raised here about human achievement, about the morality of sport, about records. Should there be asterisks beside those who broke the records taking steroids or having allegedly taken steroids? What about the moral behavior on and off the field of athletes? The Michael Vick case raising that. Again, allegations being made. And what about something like basketball? A referee who now has pled guilty and is almost sure to go to prison for corruption in terms of receiving money, gambling on the sport, and feeding information to gamblers. And then there is cycling. You know, an obsession in Europe and a real interest among many Americans as well. Big stories there. The phone number to join the conversation is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. One of the big questions here is where in the world should interest in sports lie in terms of a hierarchy of values, a hierarchy of interests for Christians? Where should all this stuff be anywhere? And anyway, let's go to Orlando, Florida, where Donald's on the line. Go ahead, Donald.
I think there should be two categories of records. For instance, the athlete who takes enhancement drugs, steroids, and so forth, and the athlete who doesn't, say Hank Aaron versus Gary Bonds. In professional weightlifting, they have all-natural weightlifting contests. You can see a difference in the physiques of these people, but they get awarded trophies, they are recognized, and then you have the others who are way out of proportion. You could see they take steroids. So, therefore, a person can be acknowledged for what he or she puts into his or her body. And, you know, that might even bring about a little pride in wanting to do it the old-fashioned way, you know, without drug enhancement.
That's a very interesting point, Donald. I want to ask you a question just for clarification so that I understand what you're saying here. Let's say that you have two lists of baseball records, one without steroids and one with. Does that change, relatively speaking, how much you would admire the people on one list versus the other?
It would for me. I would definitely admire the ones who did not take the steroids, definitely, because it's will you not go to any end? Where's the sportsmanship? You know, where is the challenge? I mean, you know, you're drugged up.
I'm with you, Donald. Let me just say that one of the things that has disturbed me, and frankly, one of the things that led me to believe we needed to talk about this today, is that I've seen so many people in the media saying, look, it's all about achievement. And the one thing you can't take away is that number. And it's all about achievement, more or less, whatever the cost. And when I think about the message that's being communicated to people there, and frankly, the worldview that's being reflected there, I find that pretty frightening. Thanks so much for your call. Let's go to James calling from Louisville, Kentucky, listening on WFIA. Go ahead, James.
Yes, when I talk to my children about the heroes that get in trouble and fall, I just use that as an example to show that we're all human and we're all held accountable. And it shows them that there is nobody above law. And, you know, some of the heroes fall, and it just shows that we're human and that we have to be accountable for our actions. And as far as drug enhanced, I agree. I don't think they should be in the record books, because you get in trouble outside the circular world for cheating at different jobs or stealing and stuff like that, you have to answer for it. And I think you should have to answer for it in the professional sports arena as well.
And I appreciate your call, James. You know, one of the interesting complicating factors in all of this is actually proving who did what when. I mean, for instance, when you take the issue of steroids, in order to actually come up with rules, or for that matter, with laws regulating this kind of thing, you have to come up with some kind of chemical definition of the substances you're talking about. And one of the problems is that people who have nefarious, evil purposes here to go around the law, who have the purpose of trying to develop these things in order to build these super athletes by use of chemicals, they're ahead of the game in these chemical compounds. You know, they'll turn the corner and create something new, and before you know it, there's no test for that yet. By the time they get a test for it, they've already moved on to something else. That's been one of the big issues in the cycling scandals. You know, there are people who might not be guilty of taking that steroid, but nonetheless, the test showed they were taking something else. We're living in strange times. I guess one of the things that has really changed of late is how much money is involved with this at virtually every level. And we do remember that money does tend to corrupt. The phone number is 877-893-8255. We'll be right back with your calls. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. Today we're talking about the morality of sports, the background, all these controversies in various sports. But I want to come back and ask another question. And let's say that all the allegations are true, that Barry Bonds is later discovered to have used massive quantities of steroids and to have been involved in a conspiracy to hide that from detection by Major League Baseball authorities. Let's assume that. Everyone's going to say, or at least most people are going to say, what he did was wrong. I want to ask the question, why was it wrong? Now, I agree it was wrong, and I think I have a pretty good idea of why it was wrong, but I think the average American is going to be hard-pressed to explain in clear moral terms why it's wrong, other than just everybody's supposed to know it's wrong. Let's take a stab at that, try to answer that question. Let's go to Jonathan calling from Rogersville, Tennessee, listening on WHCB. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Yeah, I was going to say, looking at it theologically, I think there can be great honor given to God by pursuing the natural gifts he gives people in athletics. But I think it's a great disgrace to manipulate nature by steroids. I don't think that brings honor to God at all.
Well, I appreciate you bringing a theological principle to bear here, Jonathan, and I think it's exactly where we need to go. In other words, there's something to be respected, even as the Greeks respected the Olympians for the training and the dedication, the endurance and the ability. I think most of us recognize there is something really to be respected there, like heroism on a battlefield. We recognize heroism on a playing field. But when it turns out that this was not made possible so much by human endeavor, dedication, endurance, and all the rest, stamina and exercise and commitment, but rather by steroids, it does change the picture. Now, by the way, interesting polling coming out on that question with relation to the Tour de France. In other words, would you have any less respect for someone if you discovered that they doped? An interesting answer that came back in the polling was, not if everybody did it. Now, that's where you have to say, we're not dealing with principle at all here. There's no moral principle really involved here. This is just a pragmatic calculation. And unfortunately, that's what I think a lot of people are making, just that kind of calculation. Thanks for your point, Jonathan. Let's go to Nathan calling from Louisville, Kentucky, listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Nathan.
Dr. Mueller, I think it's important to mention that these people are being driven to this by a culture, as you just mentioned, just as the Greeks used to not only esteem the athletes, but even worship them. I think our culture worships these athletes. I grew up in a church where UK basketball was the biggest religion in town. People could name you statistics about every player on the team, when the team won last. They couldn't mention to you a single martyr, a single missionary. They show you what they care about by what they're passionate about. They'll get up and hoop and holler when UK scored a point. But on Sunday morning for worship, they sit there dead as a stone because they're more passionate and they worship these players and they don't know the true living God who is worthy of all true worship.
Nathan, I really appreciate your call, and I'm glad you said all of that because I agree with you wholeheartedly. But I'm not a big sports fan, so when I say something like that, it's easy for people to dismiss that and say, well, yeah, you're not really into it anyway. But I will tell you that one of the reasons I'm not really into it is because a kind of revulsion against the sports worship, the idolatry in this society, and the sports fascination. And to me, it all gets back to the fact that a lot of it's just not real. It's not really important. And now you get to the fact it's not even real in terms of the fact it's not the human achievement that it appeared to be. I don't want to discount for a moment the role, the positive role that athletics can play, especially team athletics, in the lives of a lot of young people. It's been a mechanism for a lot of young people to learn discipline, to learn teamwork, to learn how to have fun and to be healthy and all the rest. But when it turns into the kind of idolatry Nathan's worrying about, boy, I sure get worried too. And, you know, you really find out. Now, let me tell you, a pastor in one town, I won't mention him because I don't want to get him in trouble. But he was showing me around his town. It was a major university town. And I was preaching in his church over the weekend. He drove me by the stadium of the local university, and he said, that is the largest worship center in town. And he was right. I mean, that's exactly what was going on. Role models, that's a big thing going on here, because you go immediately from the sport to the participants. You go from athletics to the athletes. And the big question is, you know, are these athletes role models? I want us to listen to a clip. This is a 1993 Nike commercial featuring the round mound of rebound, Charles Barkley, in which he said, I am not a role model.
I am not a role model. I'm not paid to be a role model. I am paid to wreak havoc on the basketball court. Parents should be role models. Just because I dunk a basketball doesn't mean I should raise your kids.
Okay, that is both reassuring and troubling simultaneously. Number one, the message that parents should be role models, that's absolutely right. Thank you, Mr. Barkley, for that. The reality that just because someone can dunk a basketball doesn't mean that they ought to be an authority in any area of life, boy, that's absolutely true. But the other side of this two-edged sword of that message is that athletes don't have to take responsibility for being role models. And here's where I fundamentally disagree with that. If you're taking endorsements from commercial products, if you're putting your name on Nike shoes, and if you are becoming a major figure in the culture, you are a role model. You have to take responsibility for that. If you are in this field of endeavor in which you know there are so many young people who are looking to this kind of achievement in order to frame their understanding of heroism, I don't care how much you want to say you're not a role model. Guess what? You are a role model. And if you doubt that for a moment, just look around the culture of these athletes. Just look around their advertisements. Just look at the kids who are wearing their jerseys, who are wearing their shoes, and are mimicking their behavior and imagining growing up to be just that kind of hero, the hero that has framed their reality as they look to the future. I agree with Mr. Barkley that parents should be the role model. The parents should not let athletes be the role models for their children. Absolute agreement with that. But there's no way I think these athletes can beg off their responsibility to be role models. I mean, just look at some of the people we've been talking about here. I mean, after all, in this Michael Vick case, and again, he's not been convicted in a court of law, but there are people that are already saying that if he is convicted, they still think he ought to be on the Atlanta Falcons, he still ought to be playing, he ought to be admired. You know, this gets back to, can people found to be deeply involved in depravity do good things that ought to be admired? Well, when we come back, we're going to try to put this together from a Christian worldview perspective. One of the things we need to remember is that all of these athletes, on steroids or not, are, just like the rest of us, sinners. Sinners who can do some pretty remarkable things, but sinners all the same. We'll talk about how to talk about that to our kids. We'll be right back. Welcome back. There's no way we can bring full closure to this discussion, but perhaps we can start thinking along some lines that will be helpful to Christians and to Christian families. Number one, it's not wrong to valorize human achievement. It's not wrong to say there's something to be respected when something does something to be admired. It could be in the business world. It could be in terms of military valor. It could be in terms of intellectual and academic achievement. And yes, it can be in terms of athletic achievement. A lot there. To be admired. But we as Christian parents especially have to put such things in their perspective. The purpose for which we were created, the purpose for which I was created is not athletics. The purpose for which we were created is the glory of God in every dimension of life. The most important question about us is not can we run fast or can we throw long. but do we know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Another thing about athletics to be reminded of is that it's a fairly narrow slice of life. But that is not the case for a lot of human beings, in which it looms way too large. I mean, the reality is that the vast majority of people on this planet are making a living doing something other than sports. They can't give themselves to the kinds of training that would be involved in professional or Olympic sports because they're doing the kinds of things they ought to be doing in terms of family life and marriage and work and all the rest. Another thing we need to do is to help our children be able to distinguish between the artificial and the real. And then we need to help them to understand that the achievement we really admire is the achievement that is real, not artificial. Because it's not just in sports that there comes the temptation to cut the corner and to seek to find the easy way out. It's in every dimension of life as well. Let's go back to the role models and the heroes for a moment. It's so easy for kids, adults true, but kids especially, to find the wrong role models. We need people to be able to understand, our children especially, to be able to understand that any hero, whether that hero is a pastor of a church, or an athlete, or a politician, or an intellectual, or a warrior, we need them to understand that the doctrine of sin is universal to humanity. That people who can do great things in one area of life are also capable of great evil. This will help Christians to be able to teach our children that we must put the hero not on the pedestal, but in the right context. To be mired in this area of life, but also to be scrutinized like any other human being, knowing in advance that that person is a sinner. And trying to put in perspective how we understand the good, the achievement, the valorous, over against the reality that this, like every other person, is a sinner in need of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Back next week for Intelligent Christian Conversation. This is the Albert Miller Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmoeller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmoeller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Moeller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.